Thursday morning. Good morning. It's great to have you here, Evan Bray, on a day where we continue to kind of unwrap what happened in that election on Monday night. The Liberals win the minority government, but three seats away from a majority government. And this is where the games begin, right? You're seeing it already. Green Party's Elizabeth May says she's open to putting her name forward to be House Speaker. Now, she's done this before. She's thrown her hat in the ring for this before. And I'm guessing never seriously considered for it. But if you think about it, the Liberals have 169 seats in the House. They need 172 for a majority. If they pick a Speaker of the House from within their ranks, they lose a seat. Now they're down 168. They're moving further away from that. So you put someone like Elizabeth May in that role. You convince a couple of the stragglers that are left of the NDP that it's the right idea to cross the floor. You see where I'm going. I mean, these are the games that are absolutely at play here. Now, is Elizabeth May going to be the Speaker of the House? I don't know. There's part of me that would be shocked, but as I read that story this morning, you know, I quickly dismissed it, and then I went, no, just hang on a second, right? You start doing the math. So it's gamesmanship is going on right now for sure, as everyone tries to figure out, okay, what does the steps forward look like? And the Conservatives are doing that as well. And I mentioned this. We had Andrew Scheer on this morning at 8:30. I mentioned this to Andrew because it's really weird to me that after the election, we've got conservative premiers in Canada that are essentially speaking out against the campaign the Conservatives ran. And Tim Houston from Nova Scotia, the latest premier to do that.
You know, I think what we've learned, there's always lessons to be learned. And I think there'll be some lessons learned from this campaign. I think the Conservative Party of Canada was very good at pushing people away, not so good at pulling people in. And I think that they probably saw that in some of the results they had across the country.
Now, I know Andrew resisted the pushing people away comment, given the fact that they actually increased the number of seats, the number of and the amount of popular vote that they got. But back to Premier Tim Houston, it's clear he thinks that they need to move a bit on that political spectrum.
But I think just on the conservative movement in general, I think the Conservative Party of Canada, well, I hope they do some soul searching on, you know, what they believe it means to be a conservative. There are many, many shades of blue. And I think that people will see that the way I govern, and they'll see that in our caucus and our party members, that we work with Nova Scotians. We'll work with anyone.
Okay, so on the notion of there are many shades of blue, it's another way of saying, do they need to change their shade? Do the federal conservatives need to move on the political scale towards the center? This conversation, of course, is happening given the fact that we've seen the crumble of the NDP to the point that it's now a two-party race. Will it stay that way? Will the NDP be able to rebuild themselves enough by the time we get back into a federal election that they play a more prominent role? Because if they do, does that chip away the vote from the Liberals? Or did some of the NDP vote go to the Conservatives? And if so, how do they hang on to it? We talked about this with Andrew, the union vote. Who would have thought that some of the largest growth for the Conservatives came this year from a younger generation? You know that's around cost of living. You know that's around the hope of home ownership and disposable income and less taxes and all of those things. And unions. So how do you keep it? Do you need to change the shade of blue that you are? Andrew talked openly about, you know, we need to stick to our roots. It was, you know, our platform promises that got us the gains that we got. So why would we stray from that? Was essentially his messaging. I'm really curious to know what you think. 1-877-332-8255. We talked yesterday about should Pierre Poilievre stick around. I'd say generally the majority of you thought yes, he should. Now the question is, what adjustments do the conservatives need to make, if any? Do they need to be more conciliatory in working with other people that are in the House, working with government? Do they need to find a path that allows them to do that? And does that convince the voters that joined them because they didn't like what they saw from the NDP to stay? Does that convince new voters to join them? 1-877-332-8255. Your texts, your calls are welcome. I'm going to get to those right away. The other thing that I'm throwing out there on open lines is this CAA Saskatchewan top 10 worst highways. So this is the worst highway list. It comes out every year. They do it in the spring, and they do it purposefully in the spring because once the snow melts, the freezing and thawing that has taken place over the last 6-7 months can often wreak havoc on the roads and on the highways. And as a result, we see a number of them in the province that are struggling. Number one on the list, Highway 5 by Buchanan. It's been on the list a bit over the last number of years, but it's there. 339 by Avonlea. Highway number 4 by Dorintosh, which is just northwest of Meadow Lake. Moose Jaw finds it on the list a couple of times in the top 10 for some of the streets in Moose Jaw. Highway 2 by Cudworth, 47 by Springside. Warman Road in Saskatoon, which we were just chatting about earlier this morning with Shaq on the morning show. Boy, it is in rough shape. Do you have something worse in your neck of the woods? Do you think your highway should have been on that list? We can add that to the conversation as well. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to the phone. Randy's been waiting patiently in Dundurn. Randy, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, Evan, I believe that the Conservatives need to focus on parliamentary reform, something even the NDP would support, perhaps a bloc maybe. I mean, transparency and accountability need to be restored, the power of the PMO office reduced. I mean, imagine a question period where the government actually answers questions, parliamentary committees that don't get shut down so we find out what happened at SNC-Lavalin, you know, the Winnipeg Labs, the green slush runs. What we've seen now with under Liberals is unfettered immigration to boost their Liberal votes across the country. Seat distribution needs to be looked at to give voters equal voices across the country. We've got a Liberal Senate now, solid judges, Liberal judges, a political process that stifles the truth. And now we've got, what we have to watch for, unfortunately, is policies that favor Power Corporation, Brookfield, and lead to China rising in Canada. Mm-hmm. That's the challenge that we have to watch for now, is where we've seen. If the Conservatives don't focus on reform in Parliament, I believe that you'll see a Liberal government from here to eternity.
It's almost a double down what you're saying, Randy, right? Because the Conservatives have talked about this. They have pushed on all of those topics that you've talked about. But you're saying double down. Make it happen. Find a way to work with NDP or Bloc or whoever to make it happen is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what needs to happen. We've seen enough books wrote about it. We've seen how the Westminster system has failed us in regards to the intent. We see how it works in Britain in regards to them managing their House of Commons and actually making people resign and making policies happen from inside. And what we have here is, I don't like to call it dictatorship, but the fact of the matter is, it almost is. The power of the PMO has risen and Parliament has fallen in regards to looking after the interests of the country, and now we're looking at the interests of major corporations that are going to be going after our resources. To hell with Trump. We've got a problem with major corporations going after our resources right now, and it's going to happen more. And you can see the companies that are involved. I mean, just do some research on where Brookfield started with the Bronfmans and the Edper and stuff, and where they all came from, and the people involved, the Laurentian elites. They sure in hell saw Trudeau leaning away from what they wanted, and they got rid of him. They got rid of him. Not Liberal cabinet. Mm-hmm. They got rid of him, put somebody in place that will keep the direction going to keep their interests alive.
Thanks so much, Randy. I appreciate the call. The parliamentary reform piece, something I've read on a number of text messages that have come in over the last little while as well. Lots of people will share your thoughts on that. It's so tough. We had Andrew Scheer on this morning for our chat, but you run out of time. You've only got so much time, and Andrew's a talker, so that adds to it. But one of the things I was curious about with Andrew, and I mean, I hate to play the ifs and buts game, but if they hadn't done the concerted effort to get rid of Justin Trudeau, what would that of election have looked like? You have to think those conversations are happening in the back room. I mean, no one would have thought that would have been detrimental to the Conservatives when Trudeau stepped down. But that constellation of events that came together with Trump and tariffs and who the Liberals selected to succeed. Had it been Chrystia Freeland, would it have been different? Again, you can play the what-if game forever, but those are the questions that I'm sure lots of people are asking in terms of charting that new path forward. What do you think? What adjustments do the Conservatives need to make? They move the ball significantly down the field in many ways. Well, they achieved better results than many successful conservative government leaders that have won elections have done. Andrew talked about that this morning. Still didn't get it over the finish line. So what do you say? Is it stay the course, or is there some sort of a significant change that needs to happen? Let's go to Perry in Osler. Perry, thanks so much for calling in. I know you think Pierre Poilievre's the right guy. He should stick around. Do you think there's an adjustment that needs to be made?
Yes. Where he made his mistake was he answered when the whole question about what are we going to do about the tariffs and the 51st state crack, that's when he made his mistake. He should have blamed the Liberals. He should have said, well, the real problem is the Liberals opened the door for this by weakening our country till we had a 67-cent dollar, which is an irritation to us and to the United States, and all our the Liberals' broken policies have destroyed Canada, and it's their fault for opening this door for this to happen.
Did he not do that, Perry? I thought, Pierre really did stick to the issues in Canada. He made comments about Trump, but he really wanted to focus on cost of living, and he talked about how it was caused, these problems were caused by 9 years of the Liberal government. I feel like he did point at Trudeau and the Liberals.
On his second debate, and that's when his poll numbers started to come back up. He pivoted it. He did it word for word what I just said. And then his poll numbers started to come back up. And then he put his policies out too late. And then everybody said, hey, he's the guy. He's for real. And so the second thing that the Conservatives have to do is somebody needs to send them all to a marketing agency. They've got to get better at campaigning. I've been saying this for four elections now. They got to put more pep into their step and get that message out.
It's interesting that you say that, because I read an article yesterday about the transformation of Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives, and it's really less about the Conservatives and more about the image change that they created for Pierre. How, they removed his glasses, they took the suit jacket off and threw a leather flight jacket on him for a news conference and aviator glasses. And, that image, that is important. Those are things that absolutely behind the scenes people are taking into consideration. But that transformation and how it's going to be maintained going forward is going to be an important part of the conversation. Okay. I've got Ken. I got Julian on the line. So don't go anywhere. Lots of texts coming in as well. We've got open lines until 10 o'clock this morning. 1-877-332-8255. We'll take our first break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Some great conversation this morning on what adjustments, if any, you think the Conservatives need to make going forward. Ken has been waiting patiently on the line, so I want to go to Ken in Saskatoon. Ken, I know you think Pierre Poilievre absolutely needs to stick around. Do you think there's adjustments the Conservatives need to make?
Well, for some background, my wife and I left Canada, left Canada for the last 2 weeks to go to New Orleans to get away from the insanity up here. So it was kind of interesting looking at the Canadian election through, you know, that other lens.
Yeah.
But I think that there are a few things. First of all, becoming liberal light, moving what they say towards the center.
Yeah.
Well, the center for a lot of these media pundits and everything like that is well left of center. So becoming liberal light didn't work for Erin O'Toole. If you want a liberal, you're going to vote for a liberal. And especially it's Ontario and Quebec, but it's mostly Ontario that just is that natural governing party. So what the Conservatives have to do, keep Poilievre, because this is an unstable situation. A minority government where the only way that the Liberals can keep power is to give Quebec everything it possibly wants. And the more you give them, the more that they're going to want. So this is going to be an incredibly unstable situation. The other thing that happens is that I think it was Randy that was talking about parliamentary reform. Okay, if the Conservatives and the Bloc Québécois can get together and do some of that stuff, fine. But you're not going to win elections. I was a Reform Party, early Reform Party member. We asked for a lot of stuff that we're now talking about, you know, and a lot of the things that Preston Manning was talking about back then have come true.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing as a Conservative is that you recognize that you need to have some way of showing people that are seniors that the Liberals are the bigger risk. Because you've got the younger people, you've got the whole demographic is changing, and not just in Canada, it's changing in the United States, it's changing in Europe. It's amazing where the young people are going. But what you have to do is you have to show that older people were risk averse. So that's really what you need to do is focus on how you're going to go and make Canada better, not just for them, but for their family.
Right. I totally understand where you're going, and I've actually seen a number of text messages that line up, Ken, with your message. Welcome back to Canada, by the way. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we've got 1 minute left. Julian, I'm going to squeeze you in. Your thoughts. Any changes or adjustments need to happen for the Conservatives?
No, I feel Pierre is okay to stay in there. Maybe they need to do a little looking at your navel a bit in that, but I think he's the strong man to stay in. The thing that ticked me off most was 91 people. That means every Tom, Dick, and Harry that had 100 friends in the bar was able to sign up. And to me, that is totally egregious to our system.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's got lots of people worked up. I actually don't think it had an impact. It's annoying and it's a distraction. I don't think it had an impact. I think the boundary line changes had a bigger impact for Pierre in his riding. But federally, you know, the question of whether or not the Conservatives need to make any tweaks or adjustments, that's an interesting conversation. There's so many great texts. I'm going to go to the text line when we come back. From misery to happiness to be. I'm on my way. From misery to happiness to be. Well, good morning and welcome. Thursday morning, Evan Bray Show, and great to have you here as we continue to pull apart the results and reaction to the federal election on Monday. We're chatting this morning after having talked yesterday about Pierre Poilievre. Is he the guy? The majority of people that called and texted into the show that are Conservative supporters said, yeah, absolutely, he is the guy. So today it's about then what adjustments, if any, tweaks do the Conservatives have to make. And we talked a little bit off the start of the show with Andrew Scheer about what some people are calling downright interference by Doug Ford during the election and less than supportive comments from Tim Houston, the premier of Nova Scotia, which came out yesterday. Jamil Javani, who is a conservative MP who just won his seat again in Bowmanville, Oshawa North, not happy. Did you hear that interview and some of the comments that he made the other day about Doug Ford and what he called a hype man for the Liberals?
Doug Ford just went through an election. I have differences of opinion with him. I don't like how he's managed healthcare or education. But out of respect, we didn't say anything. Federal party, we didn't get in his way. When it was our turn to run an election, he couldn't stay out of our business. Always getting his criticisms and all his opinions out, distracting our campaign, trying to make it about him, trying to position himself as some kind of political genius that we needed to be taking cues from.
Was it him specifically? Was it his campaign manager, Corey Tonight? Do you see Doug Ford as a problem for the federal party in the outcome of this race?
I see Doug Ford as a problem for Ontario and for Canada. I think he's not doing a great job in running this province, and now he's trying to exercise his influence over other levels of government, and it's not like this guy is doing anything particularly well.
You did used to work for him.
I did. I'm speaking from experience. I tried to fix problems in this province, and he kept getting in his way and all his goons around him all the time. They wouldn't make anything better, and now we're seeing him because he, this guy's a political genius because he beat Bonnie Crombie and Stephen Del Duca, and now we got to sit around getting advice from him? No. He has taken the provincial Conservative Party and turned it into something hollow, unprincipled, something that doesn't solve problems. He's glad-handing with Chrystia Freeland, having coffees and lattes with Mark Carney, and I'm sitting here saying we need to be fighting for change and something new and something different, not being a hype man to the Liberal Party.
That's some pretty pointed comments coming from Jamil Javani, who I still think the Conservatives would have been able to use in a positive way in building a relationship with the states, given the fact he's literally best friends with the vice president of the United States. But nonetheless, a fracture, if you will, between some of the conservative provinces and the federal conservative government. The text line has been great today, and I wanted to get to a few of these. Bill from Indian Head, you know, who would have thought we focused on foreign interference from China and India? We would not have expected it from Donald Trump and Doug Ford. Dean from Kamsack said, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Jenny Byrne must go. There's an air of arrogance and entitlement that has crept into the Conservative Party, and I believe that it hurt them to a certain degree. When they start acting like liberals in that sense, it makes them look even worse than the liberals. Although I believe Pierre should stay as leader, he sometimes came across as a bit smarmy. That's Dean's word. As far as changing a shade of blue, absolutely not. However, the way they send their message out must be more in line with the common person and less in line with people like Jenny Byrne. Dean, thanks for the text. Here's another one. Cheryl in Melville. The adjustment that needs to be made is for Pierre to stop name calling. For an example, carbon tax Carney. I'm a solid conservative supporter, but I feel that Pierre was treating the voters like children. We're smart enough to understand his excellent policies. We don't appreciate being spoken to like we're dummies. If he changed that alone, I believe the conservatives would have resonated with significantly more voters. One more text before I go back to the phone lines. Nick in Saskatoon. Evan, I think the biggest thing the conservatives need to do is accept some liberal social policies. Keep pushing for pipelines, judicial reform, gun rights, etc., but openly discuss and accept LGBTQ rights, accept addiction and mental health issues as sickness and deal with it appropriately. Accept that leaving housing to the free market is a failure and implement rent control. Bring some liberal voters in Ontario to the conservative side. That's Nick in Saskatoon. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. And we go back to the phone lines. James in Saskatoon, thanks for calling in. We're talking about adjustments or tweaks the conservatives need to make. They'll be huddled together, conferring about what they need to do going forward. Some would say nothing. What do you think, James?
Well, I guess we're collectively doing a postmortem of actually what went wrong. And I think if you stand back and you look at the situation, a lot of the talking points that Pierre had were carbon copies of what Trump was saying, you know, and that went on and on. And those kept coming through even in his speeches near the end. and that won't go away anytime soon. Those comments are all out on the internet, and that attack ad was very effective in comparing him to Trump. So maybe we have to look at somebody like Brad Wall. I'll throw that name out there. Somebody who has a fresh approach to things and may make an effective change. We need something that pulls everybody together. It's like a relay race. Sometimes you got to pass a baton and look for somebody else. So anyway, that's
James,
my two.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks. You know, here's the interesting thing, because I've had this talk with friends of mine. I've got a couple of friends who are conservative supporters who also felt like Polyev's talking points were too similar to Trump. Here's the thing. Many of the points that Pierre Polyev was making, not talking about just through the election campaign, but over the last couple of years, he was making over the last couple of years. Donald Trump wasn't even elected. And Pierre Polyev was making points about, you know, unleashing energy to the rest of the world and LNG and the gun rights stuff and those types of things. So, you know, it's hard for me to accept that he was mimicking Donald Trump. The reality is the Conservative Party and the Republican Party are going to have policies that overlap, right? I mean, that makes sense. And so, you know, it's tough because I don't know that Pierre was the one that needed to change because Donald Trump came out and barked things a little more loudly and said things a little more aggressively. When many ways, I think Pierre was saying a lot of those things along the way. So it's a bit of a tough one for me. I mean, if there was some word for word copycat stuff, okay, fair enough. But for the most part, I think a lot of the speaking points that we heard from Polyev, certainly during the election campaign, weren't necessarily brand new things. I mean, new, given the fact that we had a new liberal leader in Mark Carney, and so there was some adjustment from some of the Trudeau speaking points to the Carney stuff. But for a lot of the points, a lot of the policy-driven things, those are things that Pierre Polyev has been talking about for the last couple of years. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. The question is there a need for change? And I want to go to the far southwest corner of the province. George is calling in from Maple Creek. George, thanks for calling in. We're talking about the Conservatives and potential adjustments. What do you think?
Yeah, they definitely got to change. First of all, Mark Carney is pretty much a progressive conservative. I know my conservative friends do not like that they lost the election, but Mark Carney is a banker that's been around the world banking. He is more like a progressive conservative, so I don't think you have much to fear there. But as far as the Conservative Party, again, they also need to get more as a progressive conservative, fully old go into the museum where the progressive conservatives are and get back to reality here. Far too right, and they attract too many MPs that are a little on the fringe craziness. And, yeah, I mean, he's got to read the room and step out of there, I think, and step away.
It's a comment that has been made by some political commentators and certainly people on the text line that there needs to be a shift towards, and George pointed out, progressive conservative views as a whole, as opposed to hard C conservative, hard right wing views, because does that alienate some of the voters that they might be able to gobble up? 1-877-332-8255. Let's take our last break. I know we've still got people on the phone. I've got a number of texts I want to get to, but it's a great discussion. And by the way, we haven't even got into the worst roads thing. I have seen a couple of texts on it, but I did want to visit that. Hopefully we can at some point today or tomorrow. Don't forget, we got Bugs and Hugs tomorrow, so we could always slide it in there as well. Open Lines continues when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Oh, before I jump back into adjustments that the conservatives need or don't need to make, there has been a couple of texts on highway conditions, given the fact that CAA just came out with Saskatchewan's top 10 worst roads list. Not on that list was Highway 378 connecting Spiritwood to North Battleford via Rabbit Lake. Kiefer in Meeting Lake says it is terrible. Absolutely should be on the list. Thanks so much for the text, Kiefer. You know, there's a lot of people. Ken and Kyle, for example, says, stay the course, conservatives. Won't take long for voters to have voter remorse. Sandra from Swift Current, Mr. Polyev and the Conservative Party do not need to change a thing. It was dirty politics, including by the CBC and the ignorance, in the true definition of the word, of Central and Eastern Canada Liberal voters that caused this disaster, Sandra in Swift Current. A number of people say it's really about a couple of small, maybe platform items that you could include and putting a smile on your face. Bryn, for example, says, if Pierre can let the Canadians know that the Conservatives support human rights and healthcare, put a smile on a bit more, try and be a bit friendlier when he can while standing strong when it matters, he'll be laughing in the next election. A number of people still on the phone lines and taking us in a couple of different directions. So we'll start with Tom in Choiceland. You're saying we need to wait and see what happens with Carney before we make any big adjustments. Is that right, Tom?
Well, that's right, because, excuse me, he said by a Canada date that he's going to have all the borders ripped down in Canada. Like, all that's all going to be done. We're going to be a free country by Canada Day. Let's see if that's going to happen. And the problem with Mr. Polyev is he wasn't putting enough thing into about the free trade. They should have stuck up more about free trade, and I think he would have won.
1-877-332-8255. We had Buckley Belanger on yesterday morning. Of course, he's been elected as the lone Liberal MP in Saskatchewan, representing that northern riding. I got Dave from Mistatum on the line right now. And Dave, you've got big plans for Buckley, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. Dave Mistatum da Pioma. Yeah, that's really something. You know, as a Liberal here in this area right here, I caught quite a bit of flack over the election. I told him, I said, you guys got to learn how to get your leaders elected. From the far side of the moon, the kissing cousins, you know, they just can't seem to get it done. But yeah, this is John Gormley, the altruist, who I liked.
Yeah.
John, you know, he did his best to get rid of Ralph. And now that we got Buckley there, I think that what they should do is they should make Buckley Belanger the Minister of Agriculture.
I talked with Buckley about that yesterday morning, Dave, because I said this has got to be good for Saskatchewan. Will you be fighting for Saskatchewan? And he talked about agriculture.
Well, sure. You know, he's a very intelligent man. I didn't particularly care for the party he had, but he still made a lot of sense. I mean, we got to give the guy, you know, his extra points. But as far as being progressive, you know, and conservative, you know, they got a long ways to go if they can't get their leader elected. That's all I got to say. Let's make Buckley Belanger the Minister of Agriculture and just hope for the best, for the farmers, you know.
Dave, you're starting the campaign. From Mistatum, Saskatchewan. Thank you for that, and thank you for calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Open lines can be about anything. And I mean, we've directed and we've chatted today about the conservatives and any adjustments they need to make, but there's lots of other things going on. And Don from Saskatoon, you've got something different on your mind today. What is it?
Yes, in regards to the Lake Diefenbaker irrigation project.
Right.
So it's going to be three phases, and the first one will be about $1.15 billion, but we know that that's going to be a lot more. So I'm just throwing out a number with all three phases, $3 billion.
Big money.
And that's provincially funded.
Right. So the Water Security Agency recently announced that they're self-declaring a project that they're doing for scrutiny on the project, basically. They're calling it the Westside Irrigation Rehabilitation Project for scrutiny. You have any hope that that will give the transparency on this project that you're talking about?
Absolutely not. I think it's still going to be, well, okay, let's say $2 billion. And so it helps 150 farmers. I'm just guessing. And we can't send our products over to China right now anyways. We've got thousands of farmers that are sitting with bins full of canola.
There's a small number of farmers, there's no doubt about it, that are impacted when you compare provincially to the number of ag producers that we have in the province that aren't close enough just by virtue of geography to be impacted by that irrigation project as well. Don, thanks so much for calling in. As always, we will do open lines again tomorrow. Some of the texts that I didn't get to, I'll try and weave in throughout the show. There's some great ones still left here, but we are switching gears to financial planning. Volatile markets, what has that meant for the customers of Darren Ulmer? Sun Life financial planner and president of White Owl Financial Solutions will join me next with a thought on what trends in investments and retirement look like. And if you have questions, he'll be here to answer those as well. Next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.